Call the meeting of the Energy Finance and Policy Division to order. First, we'll take the roll. We do have a quorum present. The first order of business would be approval of the minutes from March 29th. Representative Slocum, I know you've been waiting patiently here for others to arrive, I'm sure.
So,
We have a motion before us. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor of approval signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Minutes are adopted. Members, the first and only item on the agenda today is House File 436, which is my bill, otherwise known as the Governor's Next Generation Energy Bill. Representative Rood is trying to run back and forth between this and two other committees in which a number of votes are being taken, so we can't really depend on her being available to chair the meeting, so I've asked Representative Wagenius if she would be so kind as to do that. And with that, members, I will attempt to present the bill.
Representative Pelkey, would you like to make a motion?
I would, Madam Chair. I would move that House File 436 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Representative Pelkey has moved that House File 436 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Finance. Representative Hilton.
And Madam Chair, in order to get the bill in the order in which I would like to present it, I would move the H-0436 PE2 amendment.
There have
been some...
If I could just announce that Representative Hilty has moved the H-0436-DE2 amendment. Representative Hilty.
Thank you. Madam Chair, what this amendment does is what we had promised all along that we would do. This basically puts the work that members of the committee have done on this bill into the governor's bill, the Next Generation Energy bill. At the very beginning of this session, when this bill was first brought forward, a very ambitious initiative on the part of Governor Pawlenty, I asked members of the committee who were interested in various aspects that the bill contained to just go to work on them and see if we could work with the governor's language find a compromise, find general agreement. Or failing that, at least coming to the best solution that the members could achieve for each of those sections. Of course, the bill initially contained the renewable energy objective, which turned into the renewable energy standard. All of the details of that were worked out, I think, very satisfactorily. And as we all recall, that bill was signed by the governor some time ago now to the general approval of everyone. So that article is no longer in the bill, but what we're doing with the amendment is putting the versions that have arisen from the work of Representatives Kalin, Peterson, and Rood into the bill. This is perhaps not technically a committee bill, but in reality it is. There was an enormous amount of work that went into all three of these elements. I think it would have been very difficult for any one person to accomplish what has been accomplished in working out the details that we have represented in these three articles. There does remain some controversy, particularly about one of the articles, and we continue to work on the resolution of that. I have worked very closely with Representative Rood and with various interested parties. We've had proposals and counter proposals. I had hoped that something could be achieved by this time, but unfortunately that has not been the case. I think that we may be getting fairly close. We've had, I think, significant movement with regard to the disputes on the climate change section of the bill. But at this point, we really have no choice except to go forward as we have it, certainly with my commitment that we'll continue to work on this and try to make everyone, if not happy, at least equally unhappy. So that would conclude my remarks, Madam Chair, and I would renew my motion that the DE2 amendment be adopted.
Representative Hilty renews his motion. Do you want to... You have an amendment. Is this to this amendment? And I think, would you like to move this amendment to the amendment to get it into the order that you would like it?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would.
Okay. Representative Hilty has moved H0436A1. Any questions from members? I don't see any questions.
We have an amendment. Madam Chair,
yes.
There's an amendment on the table. I suppose we, in play, we do an amendment to the amendment. That would be too deep. I guess we're still covered there. Aren't we? Okay, good.
We're in good shape.
Sorry, I just started drinking coffee today.
We would have, if had we known, we would have held off your coffee for a while. But we did not know you were starting with it this early in the day. All right. The amendment to the amendment is before you, members. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Hilty, I appreciate you working with us on the A1 amendment. And members, we talked about this when we had discussion on the bill, and my concerns about the possible biofuels ramifications of it. And I'm satisfied our work with Chair Hilty, and I really appreciate that, and other members of the committee as support and work on this. And I think, Madam Chair, this covers my concern, and so I certainly support the amendment and appreciate the work to get it included.
Super. The A1 amendment is before you, members. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The A1 amendment is adopted. We are now on the amendment... DE2 as amended. Is there any discussion? I don't see any discussion. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? The amendment is adopted. Representative Hilty, we are now on the bill as amended. Is there discussion from members? I don't see any discussion from members. Representative Hilty renews his motion that House file.
Madam Chair,
Yes.
I believe we had another amendment.
Would you?
Not at this time.
We do not have another amendment at this time. I would be remiss in not asking if somebody had testimony on something new that we have not yet heard before about these bills. We've certainly had ample testimony thus far, but if there's something new somebody'd like to say, they are welcome to step forward at this time. I do not see anyone appearing. Representative Hilty, would you like to renew your motion?
I would, Madam Chair. I'd move that House File 436, as amended, be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition?
No.
Bill is passed as recommended. The bill is passed. And recommended to go to finance. The bill as amended is passed and recommended to go to finance. Thank you, Representative Hilty. Would you like to chair back?
I guess so. Members, I hadn't anticipated when we wrapped up the finance bill that we would run late and have sort of a stampede for the door as a result. So while I was able, when Mr. Soderberg was presenting the run-through of the spreadsheet, to express my appreciation to him, I didn't get to the rest of the staff. And I want to say that I think that we have had a remarkably good, able staff that contributed to the work of this committee. Mr. Eloff, I think, has done the work of two or three people. I've been tremendously overburdened. Mr. Soderberg has had likewise other committee assignments to deal with as well. Mr. Pomeroy, I wish I had the capability of learning as fast as he does. Smith has been just totally reliable and invaluable in doing what we've tried to do. And we have a couple of great pages, and Andy Larson and John Slate, just all together have been great people to work with, as well as all of the members of this committee. I really appreciate the cooperation that we have had. It'd be nice if we could agree on everything, which unfortunately never seems to quite be the case, but we're still working on that. And certainly as this bill goes forward, it's my intention to achieve a result that everybody, if not, if it can't be totally happy with, at least will find that they can live with. That is my commitment as this goes forward. And I just wanted to say another word about why we're doing this. And I think we have a handout that, if the pages could distribute that for the members. It's been a lot of focus and discussions that we have had about specific elements of the Next Generation Energy Act. And we tend sometimes, I think, to lose sight of the more global picture that this is a part of. I just wanted to distribute to members something that I have shared with some of you previously. A lot of members of the audience have seen this as well. What it is a calculation that couple members of the Institute for Electronic and Electrical Engineering did. It's a calculation of how much petroleum we use globally in a year. And they've illustrated it here graphically. What it amounts to is almost exactly 1 cubic mile of petroleum. And the illustration that you have is that in scale next to the Eiffel Tower, which looks awful small there, members. And on the next page, you'll see their calculation about what would happen at point, and many people, and I could give you a whole list of, I think, very credible witnesses. Many people feel that the global production of petroleum has already reached its peak and will sometime soon, if it hasn't already, start an inevitable and irreversible decline. And I think we all recognize that what makes the global economy work is cheap hydrocarbon fuel, cheap energy. And we're not about to run out of petroleum. We're not about to run out of natural gas or coal. But as the demand continues to increase at the same time that supply begins to decline, we're going to see escalating prices. And that's really what underlies our attempting to achieve some measure of energy independence, which I think is an illusion. But on the second page here, the calculation that these engineers made was assuming that at the point that we do have a 2% per year, and that's a very optimistic assessment of the decline in petroleum production once it's peaked, what would we have to do to make up for a 2% decline in petroleum production if we wanted to maintain the same level of energy input that we currently have in the global economy? This is not taking into account any increases in demand, any kind of growth at all, just to maintain it as it is. And you see what this would be every year for the next 50 years. 104 new 500 megawatt coal plants, or 52,000 megawatt nuclear plants, 32,850 wind turbines every year, 91,250,000 solar panels, or 4 Three Gorges dams, the dam that's being built in China that some people feel is such a massive undertaking itself that there's a risk of it throwing the earth off its axis. Heck, this illustrates the magnitude of the problem that we face here. We got a lot of chickens coming home to roost. You know, we have been using the resources of the planet at a totally unsustainable rate. And we can't keep doing that. And if we wait until that becomes so clear that the prices for the things that we rely on are astronomical, it's caused dire consequences for the economy, and we no longer have capital to deal with any of the alternatives, where will we be? That's why I think it's imperative to do as much as we can, as fast as we can. And this is a very aggressive proposal. I was extremely gratified to see the governor bring this forth. And I think that by the end of this process, we will have a product here that we can agree on, and that will put Minnesota in the forefront of the efforts to deal with these problems, which are admittedly global problems that we're not going to solve here. But at least maybe we can try to show the way a little bit. So it is my intention to particularly in the interim, to work on some of the issues that remain with other bills that we weren't able to get to. I'd like to begin meeting with the call meetings of the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force. And it's my intention with that to see if we can't find a way to kind of morph that organization into a legislative energy commission so that we're looking beyond the generation of electricity to other energy considerations that we need to be making in this state. And there are a lot of people that I think would be very interested in hearing from, if I can get some of them to come here. One of them is Congressman Roscoe Bartlett, who's a Republican congressman from Maryland, who is a co-founder of the Congressional Peak Oil Caucus. Has a number of very interesting things to say about the implications of global energy for our national security or economic well-being. So we'll be working on that, and I want to say it's been a real pleasure to work with the members of this committee. I think it's one of the best committees we have in the House, and I appreciate the input from everyone that has participated, and members, thank you. With that, meeting is adjourned.